All right, good to see you back this afternoon. Appreciate so much you being here. And we have a Samsung phone here that was found over in the other auditorium. And so if you have misplaced... Okay. You were looking real interested there. That's okay. But if you have lost this, I tried to turn it on to see if I could get an idea of who it belonged to, but the battery is dead. Because it's Samsung, maybe you're afraid to try to charge it. I don't know. You're afraid, you know. But anyway, it's here. So if it is yours, you can collect that after the service. Okay. All right. 1 Kings chapter 17. If you would please turn in your Bibles, the book of 1 Kings. And chapter 17, let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a time in your life when everything was going along, and then all of a sudden there was a huge change? We've all been there, haven't we? We've all been there. At the time, you didn't understand it. Didn't make any sense to you. But then, later on, it kind of starts to make sense. You know, I think for an example, some years ago, 23 actually, God began to lay on Ginger and my heart about leaving a work that we had been with for 16 years in Korea and coming to Singapore. Why in the world would I come to Singapore? You know. And at the time, I didn't understand it. I just knew that was the way that God was leading. Well, now with the passing of time, I think now I understand just a little bit why God did that. But the fact is, in all of our lives, there comes times when we're going to be going one direction, all of a sudden God's going to change it on us. And there's going to be a change that comes up. And that's exactly what we find is going to be going on in the life of Elijah the prophet. You remember we have seen in our study together how that Israel had gone into idolatry. Israel was sinning against God, and you remember as a result of their sin, Elijah came on the scene very, very suddenly. He just sort of appears in the throne room of King Ahab. And pronounced that it was not going to rain, not going to do for 3.5 years. And so he pronounced this judgment. And so as a result of that judgment, you remember we mentioned last time, the land was filled with a drought. A result of the drought was there was a famine in the land, which resulted naturally in hunger. And also in much suffering. But you remember we saw how that God moved Elijah to the brook Cherith. And there were some lessons that he had to learn there by the brook Cherith. And believe it is believed that he was there for about 1 year by the brook Cherith. And it was during that time he learned a very important lesson. It's the lesson that the psalmist spoke of. In Psalm 37, verse 25, when he said, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. But then there came the day when the brook went dry, right? There came that day when the brook went dry, but please remember this, even though God allowed the brook to go dry, God did not forget Elijah. God did not forget Elijah. You remember in our study together last time, I gave you two reasons why I believe God allowed the brook to go dry. First of all, Elijah needed to learn to trust God even when circumstances in life looked grim. He needed to know God's in control. I can trust Him. I don't see how it's going to work out, but I trust Him. I trust Him. And Elijah also needed to learn to depend on the person of God alone. Not on the gifts, not on the provisions that God gave him, but rather depending on God, you see. That was the thing Elijah needed to learn. Well, now we're going to see another reason why God allowed the brook to dry up. There was another reason why God allowed the brook to dry up, and that was simply so that Elijah might be moved from where he was to a new place that God had in store for him. You see, many times, and you know this is true, many times God puts us in a place, and after a period of time, we become very comfortable there, don't we? Even if it's not a good place, we're familiar with it, we get comfortable with it, we're happy there, right? And so we get comfortable where we are, and when God speaks and says, okay, I want you to leave here, I want you to go someplace else, we want to argue with God. We want to question what God is doing, and to be honest, many times we're just not interested in making the move that God wants us to do. And so therefore, sometimes God allows our brooks to dry up in order that He might force us to make the move that He wants us to make. He takes away the comforts that hold us down. He takes away the comforts that keep us from following Him. And when those things are stripped away, well, then we have no choice. Well, we just, okay, we'll go, you know, grudgingly. Don't want to. I protest, but I'll go. You know, that kind of an attitude. So when the brook dried up, God had Elijah's attention. God had Elijah's attention. And so therefore, we find in verse 8, verse number 9, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath. Now he's by Cherith, down on the east side of the Jordan River. Zarephath is way up toward the north, up by Zidon and Tyre, up in that area. And so along, and he says, I want you to leave here, I want you to go up there. I want you to go up there. As we consider the record that we find in our text here, three thoughts that I want us to notice together. Number one, I want us to notice the prophet's reactions. The prophet's reactions. As we consider our text, I think there are four things that we're going to see in the reactions of the prophet Elijah. First of all, his reaction was a reaction that was an amazement. He's amazed at what he has been commanded to do. The Lord said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Now you'll remember that Zidon was one of those powerful city-states during the days of Elijah. And if you'll remember, we also saw before, back in 1 Kings 16:31, how that King Ahab had married the daughter of the king of Zidon, right? He married the daughter of the king of Zidon, and of course her name was Jezebel, right? And so that wicked woman. And so Queen Jezebel, you remember, had influenced King Ahab to hunt down and to murder the prophets of the Lord God. We'll see that later in chapter 18, verse number 4. And so when God said, okay, Elijah, I want you to leave Cherith, and I want you to go to Zidon, that was an amazing thing to him. Because basically what God was calling him to do was to leave a place of comfort, a place of safety, and to literally go to the hometown of his enemy. That's what he's being called to do. And so he left the city of left Cherith and goes to the city of Zarephath. And then we see that in spite of the surprise that he had, there was also a reaction of hope. A reaction of hope. Verse number 9, the Lord God said, dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. In other words, just as the Lord God had taken care of Elijah down by the brook Cherith, God said, now, Elijah, I want you to understand, I'm still going to take care of you. There's a widow woman up there, And I've commanded her, and she's going to take care of you. She's going to provide. She's going to provide your needs. And so really, God's provision was going to faithfully continue on. Only difference was, instead of ravens, now it's going to be a woman, okay? And she's going to take care of you. And so, and then we see there was also a response of obedience. Verse number 10 says, he arose and went to Zarephath. From his hiding place on the east side of Jordan, he traveled in a sort of northwesterly direction of about 161 kilometers was the distance that he had to travel. And so that would take about 5 or 6 days walking along the way there. And it gave him plenty of time to think. Gave him plenty of time to think about what was going on in his life. And it was because of that thinking there was another reaction, and that was the reaction of a surprise. As Elijah traveled to Zarephath, I'm sure one of the main things on his mind was who this woman was that God said he had commanded to take care of him. And so I'm sure as he was traveling along, he's thinking about how God's going to do that. Who is this widow woman who's going to supply his needs? And I'm sure, and you say, how are you sure? Well, the Bible says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And so the reason I'm pretty sure he did this is because this is what I would do. Okay? And so he's walking along, he's thinking, God said this widow woman's going to take care of me. And I can just imagine. Have you ever noticed how we play out all these scenarios in our head that are based on nothing but our imagination? But anyway, he's thinking, I'm going to go up there and this widow woman's going to be there and probably her husband was the president of a big bank. First National Bank of Zarephath, okay? He probably the president of a bank, and he's died, left her all of this huge fortune. And I'm going to go up there, and God's just going to lay my ministry on her heart. She's basically going to sign the check and give it to say, you fill in whatever you want, you know. I'm still waiting for that to happen. Never has happened. And he's got this all worked out in his mind, how God's going to do this and how God's going to use this very wealthy woman to supply all of his needs and to provide for his ministry and all of those kinds of things. But you know what? Elijah discovered the same thing that I have discovered in my life, and that's this. God seldom works the way I planned it. You ever notice that? He seldom works the way I had it all figured out. And so two things came as a surprise to Elijah. There were two things that shocked him. First of all, instead of the woman being rich, she was poor. She was poor. In fact, notice it in verse number 10. The Bible says that when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. Dead giveaway. Rich women don't gather sticks, right? Rich women have their servants go out and gather sticks, okay? And so dead giveaway, she's not rich. She's not rich. And not only was this woman poor, but Elijah discovered another thing that surprised him about this woman, and that was this. She was helpless. She was helpless. Verse 10, 11, verse 12, he called to her, said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. In other words, Elijah's great surprise was simply that God told him, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you, And yet his great surprise is that this widow woman, whom God has commanded to sustain him, cannot even take care of herself. How is she going to take care of Elijah? Something to think about, isn't it? That's a surprising thing indeed. But then I want you to notice, number two, the prophet's boldness. The prophet's boldness. Now think about it. He meets this woman. He says, "Would you bring me some water?" Immediately she goes to get it. Why? Well, water doesn't cost anything, right? Just a little bit of effort. Just go down to the well, draw out some water. Okay, here's water. So immediately she begins to go to get the water. But then the prophet said, "Oh, by the way, and while you're going, make me a cake." Now it's going to cost something, right? Now it's going to cost. Isn't it amazing how we're willing to give God anything as long as it doesn't cost us anything? But as soon as it starts to cost something, we begin to, wait a minute, Lord. And so she begins to make her excuse. She begins to make her excuse. "I only have enough meal, enough oil for one cake. That's why I'm only gathering two sticks. You don't need a bonfire to cook one little cake, right?" And so she said, "I've only got enough for one cake. I'm going to make it for me, my son. We're going to eat it. We're going to die." End of story. Now, we would expect Elijah, being the man of God, to show some understanding. We would expect him to have compassion. We would expect him to say to this widow woman, "Oh, ma'am, I am so very sorry. I was not aware of your difficult situation. I didn't realize the condition you're in. Never mind about the cake. Let me just have a word of prayer with you." Well, that sounds spiritual, doesn't it? "Let me just pray with you." Or we would expect him to say, this is really spiritual, "Let me have prayer with you, and here, let me give you an offering to help you out. I didn't realize you were such dire straits." But instead of that, listen to what Elijah said. Listen to the boldness of it. Here's a woman that just told her that she and her son are about to starve. Now, you know how mothers are about their kids, right? And he just met this mother who said, "Me and my son are about, we're going to starve to death." And notice the boldness of Elijah. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, "Fear not. Go do as thou hast said. Go make your cake. Go take the last of your meal, the last of your oil, make a cake, cook it. Do as thou hast said, but make me thereof little cake first. And bring it to me. And after that..." What do you mean after that? "I already told you. I only got enough for one cake. But I want you to go, you make for me first. And then after that, make for thee and for thy son." How in the world, unless he was a Baptist, how could a preacher be so hard-hearted and uncaring for the need of this woman? How could he just blow her off like that and say, "Yeah, you go ahead, but you take care of me first"? How selfish, how self-centered could that be? How could Elijah do that? Well, let me give you three reasons why Elijah did what he did. Number one, or letter A, he knew God's command. He knew God's command. Verse number 9, the Lord God said. Remember what God said? God said, Behold, I have suggested that if it's possible and if it's not too much difficulty, that a widow woman there might sustain thee. Now, that's not what it says, is it? No, it wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't even a good idea. God said, "I have commanded." I have commanded. Now, let me just tell you something right now. Okay, just kind of file this away for future reference. God will never command you to do anything you cannot do with His help. Okay? Just kind of file that away. It'll be a blessing to you later. God will never command you to do anything that you cannot do without His help. Okay? And so Elijah knew God's command. And therefore, he was not afraid. He was not embarrassed. He was not shy to tell this woman what she must do because of the fact he knew that this was God's will in this matter. This was God's will. Elijah was simply telling this woman what the Lord God had already commanded that she should do. And so he knew God's command. Number two, he could tell this woman to take care of him first. Because not only did he know what God commanded, let her be, he knew what God had promised. He knew what God had promised. What did God promise? Look at verse 14. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain on the earth. In other words, until the drought is broken and the famine is ended, God's going to provide for you. He's going to provide for you. That's the promise of God. And so Elijah was not concerned or worried or shy to tell this woman to make a cake for him first, because he knew that as soon as she did, God's going to provide for her in a miraculous way. Not only that, there was a third thing. He was not ashamed, nor was he shy to make the request, because let her see, he knew God's faithfulness. You know how he knew it? He learned it. You know how he learned it? By waking up every morning and drinking the water that God provided in the brook Cherith, and by eating the food that the ravens brought to him every morning and every evening. And day after day after day, he saw the faithfulness of God, and he knew that the faithfulness of God that had provided for him there by the brook Cherith would certainly provide for him in Zarephath. The faithfulness of God. In other words, Elijah had learned God always keeps His word. God always keeps His promises. And so he was not shy, not ashamed to request that this woman make a cake for him first. Now I want you to notice a third thing. Number three, the prophet's supply. The prophet's supply. As we consider the point of the prophet's supply, we're actually going to focus on the woman. We're going to focus on the woman. And I want you to notice, first of all, letter A, the woman's decision. The woman's decision. You see, when Elijah told this woman the command of God, she had two options that were open for her. When Elijah said, God has commanded this, and here's what He's promised, and I know God is faithful because I've seen Him prove it over and over and over and over down by the brook Cherith. You see, now this woman is faced with two options. First of all, she could refuse, right? I mean, she could refuse. She could say to the prophet, you know, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That I take the last of my food for me and my son, I give it to you. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard. And she could refuse. She could refuse to feed God's man. And certainly, nobody would fault her for that. Nobody would fault her for putting her own son first in order to feed a traveling preacher, right? So she could refuse it. She could reject it. Or she could obey. She realized that if she fed Elijah, see, she realized that if she fed Elijah and if the Lord God did not keep His promise. I said if. If the Lord God did not keep His promise, then it would simply mean that she and her son would die maybe a day or two earlier, but they're still going to die. All right? That's what it would mean. But just suppose that what the man of God said was true. Just suppose that she did feed him with that first cake, and God did do what the man of God said that she would do, then she and her son would be able to survive this whole period of drought and judgment. So she's faced with a choice. She can just refuse it and say no. Or she can accept it, understanding, well, we may die. But then again, on the other hand, we may live, you see. We may live. And so with a display of great faith in the God of heaven, with a display of great confidence and trust in what the man of God had said, the Bible says in verse 15 that she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. In other words, she went, got the meal, poured it all out, got the oil, shook it all out, mixed it together, made a cake, cooked it, and took it to the man of God. And the rest of the story is, she starved to death. Is that what it said? No, no. Notice letter B, the woman's provision. The woman's provision. Verse 15, and she, and he, that's Elijah, the man of God, and her house, that's her son and all her other family members, what? Did eat many days. Now let me mention an important fact here that we need to remember. God did not need this woman to take care of His prophet. God didn't need this woman. Just like God does not need our church to take care of our missionaries on the foreign field. God doesn't need us to do that. God doesn't need us to do that. God had already proven that He was totally capable of taking care of Elijah by the brook Cherith. He was totally capable of taking care of His own man. So He really did not need this woman to do what He Himself could do. But you see, there's another side to the story. And the other side to the story is simply this. While God did not need her, that woman desperately needed Him. All right? That woman desperately needed His provision. And that provision would only come to her as she allowed herself to be used by God to provide for the man of God. That same principle is the principle the Lord Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 41, when He said, "He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." Right? "And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." And because this woman received the Lord's prophet, and she showed Him the kindness that God commanded, she fed Him as God commanded. Result was, she and her family were allowed to enjoy that which God provided for Elijah. She was able to be a partaker of it. She was able to enjoy it along with him, you see. And it was because of that faithful supply that God gave in accordance with His promise. Notice in verse number 16, "The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Now let me tell you what I do not believe that means. I do not believe that when she made that oil, or took that meal and that oil, made that last cake, brought it to Elijah, it does not mean that she came back and looked in the barrel where she kept her meal and found it is full all the way to the top and running over. And she did not look in the cruse of oil and say, oh my goodness, look at this. It's full all the way to the top and overflowing. I don't believe that's what happened. Because you see, if that happened, she would not need to trust God every day by faith, right? To provide her need. And without faith, it's what? Impossible, right? To please God. And so what I believe happened was simply this. She made the cake. She took it to Elijah. Came back. Now, the man of God said, I'm going to feed him first, and then I'm going to feed my son. So she took that barrel of meal, and she dumped it all out. And dumped out all the oil. And she, lo and behold, there was enough for another cake. And the next day, when she came for breakfast time and took that empty barrel of meal, look at there's some more. And there's more oil. And she made a cake. And day after day after day, God faithfully provided for her. God faithfully provided for her. Now, I don't know what the circumstances may be in your life. I don't know where you are in your life, but I do know the God who is in control of all of our circumstances. See? I do know the God who is in control of all of our circumstances. Noel Smith, one of my professors when I was in Bible college years ago, Dr. Noel Smith used to say this. He said, God is too good to do wrong. And he's too wise to make a mistake. He's too good to do wrong. He's too wise to make a mistake. And so therefore, when it seems that our circumstances are looking grim, when it seems that things are starting to come apart, things are not going the way that we thought they should or thought that they would, then instead of getting discouraged by that, just remember that it may very well be that God is seeking simply to move you to a new place, to move you to a new area of service, to move you to a higher responsibility in his church. And you don't need to be afraid when God moves you because of the fact that God will faithfully provide for all your needs. He will do that. And He will wonderfully use you to be a source of blessing to others. Just like Elijah's presence in the house of that woman was a source of blessing to them, because they were able to enjoy the provisions of God, you see. And so when God says move, have the faith that Elijah had. Trust that God's moving in your life is what is best for you. It's what's best. Now you may not understand that right away. And it may not make any sense right away. But when God says move, just follow His lead and understand that His way is always going to be what's best. And so when God says to you, move, like He said to Elijah, pack your bags and head for Zarephath, okay? Start going in the way that you ought to go with confidence that God is going to provide, God's going to take care of you. Someone has well said, the man, the woman who confidently stands in the place of God's leading. The man or the woman who confidently stands in the place of God's leading will never lack the supply of God's blessing. That's a good point to remember. It's a good point to remember. And so may God help each of us to trust Him boldly, even when the world says it's foolishness. And may God help us to obey Him diligently, even when it seems not to make any sense at all. And may God help us to follow Him completely, knowing that in the following of our God, that's where we find His blessings. And that's where we find His provision. And that's where we find the place of service that He has for us. Some wonderful lessons that we can learn from Elijah. When God says, move. Heavenly Father, we thank You for...